like that, when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. What a privilege. What a privilege. Don't ever forget that it's a privilege to know God, that he loves us enough to get us where we need to go and to be who we need him to be so we can be who he's called us to be. When the oceans rage, pain in the night. Anybody know anything about that? Pain in the night. Can't sleep. Got problems. Maybe pain in the night. Joy comes in the morning. One thing I notice, the sun will always come up no matter how bad my night is. It's going to come up. He stays the same through the ages. Some of y'all need to hear this today. He doesn't change. We change. And we, my God, we need him so bad. We need his touch on our lives. One of the things I realized about our lives, we're talking about resurrection repercussions. What did the resurrection, what does that mean to us today? What happened after the resurrection? This is a big deal because this is what the church is made of. And I always think that I'm preaching the most important message I ever preached in my life. And I think I'm preaching it today. I think this might be the most important sermon I've ever preached in my life. Y'all stay with me. I'm going to try to give you my best. And y'all stay awake. The disciples had expectations. The Jewish nation had expectations of the Messiah. The Roman government had expectations. The Jewish nation wanted to be redeemed from Roman oppression. They wanted somebody to come to them, I suppose, in a gold-covered stagecoach with six white albino stallions prancing through the streets of Jerusalem with the King of Kings on top of the wagon. And Jesus came on a donkey. Why? So he could relate to common man. God became man so that we could relate to him. I don't know, is there anybody here that you have been, you know people and they had expectations of you that you couldn't meet? They're like, well, if you'll do this, and they expect you to do something, like, it didn't happen. Then you had expectations of other people. Sometimes I've found probably one of my greatest, I probably offended more people because they expected something from me that I couldn't give them. And expected things from me that I wouldn't give them. Expectations. I would submit to you that the biggest cause of divorce is unmet expectations. It's like when I got married, I'm like, man, I'm going to get 3 hot meals a day. And sweet tea, gonna bring me tea. And I mean, all you single people, y'all ought to be listening to me right now. Because it ain't always what you think it is. But there ain't nothing like a year to really experience reality when it comes to marriage. You with me? I had a guy in the second service, he said, you need a raise. I mean, your wife's up there. She got holes in her jeans. I'm like, well, I think that's in style. We used to throw them away when they had holes in them. Expectations, huh? I want to talk to you about the covenant of communion. The covenant of communion, and talk about God's expectations of us and what we should expect from him. He never changes. So we can have comfort with that. But we also know that God has expectations. He says, what does the Lord require of thee? It's good for us to know what God requires of us. We call that the Bible. That gives us all the information we need. Dara and I, we went on a little road trip 3 or 4 weeks ago. We decided we were just going to flip a coin and north, south, east, and west. We wound up, I don't need to get into it, but went to Alabama and all up through there. Wound up coming back down and spent the night in New Orleans. And I went to Starbucks, and there was a guy in Starbucks that wanted some money. Hard to imagine. And so I talked to him for a long time about the Lord and stuff, and I gave him some money, and I told him, I said, you need to get you a Bible. And he said, the Bible, that's basic information before leaving Earth. I'm like, we got to get on. I'm like, somebody put something in you. You with me? So what this is, God has this basic information before you leave Earth. This is what's important about his word. So that's what I want to talk about. This is valuable information. If you'll have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And I encourage you to bring your Bibles. We don't put the scripture on the screen because we really want you to bring your Bible to church. And it's downloaded on your phone and BibleGateway.com. It's so simple, so easy. Even a fool couldn't waver therein. Never mind. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9. God has left very clear, his very clear expectations. Verse 9, then indeed even the first covenant or the law had ordinances of divine service in the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Talking about the old tabernacle in the Old Testament. Behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, or the holies of holies, which had a golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid with all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And above it were cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. In the holies of holies, there were cherubim that were overshadowing the mercy seat. Is there anybody here this morning that could use a little bit of God's mercy on your life this morning? You're like, I might take some of that. God's mercy was in his presence. Of these things, we cannot now speak in detail. So here it is, verse 6. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services, but into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year. The high priest, not without blood. In other words, he brought the sacrifice of an animal, and he brought the blood sacrifice, which represented the payment for the sin of the nation of Israel. Now, one of the things that's not popular anymore to talk about when it comes to church and stuff like that is blood. You may not really know this, but when you order a hamburger at McDonald's, some cow had to die. And there was blood. And then you get 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on your sesame seed bun. But really, there had to be a sacrifice in order for you to live. So in this shedding of blood, one of the things about God is that he is a just God. Please, this is very, very important. God is not our justice system is good, but there are flaws in our justice system. And only God, because God knows everything, and there are things in our justice system that are not revealed or that we don't know about, but God's justice system is perfect because he sees everything. He knows everything. He is omnipresent. He is present everywhere, and nothing happens without his knowledge. Now, I'm one of them guys, if the speed limit is 40 miles an hour, I just as soon go 50. And it's okay if I don't get caught. Y'all looking way, way, way too holy on me out there. You're like, oh, I can't believe Reverend Weaver is speeding. But you see, we don't look at it that way. We look at it in our culture today that is if you don't get caught, it must be okay. And we get by with things because our justice system is not perfect. God's judgment, justice system is perfect. And in order for there to be justice, the penalty has to be paid. If I get caught doing for it down at the courthouse. You with me? Somebody's got to pay for it. I got to pay for it because it was my transgression. Your mama can't pay for your transgression. Your daddy can't. You have to personally take care of your own transgression. Now, here's what I want to say to you this morning. In this thing that we call communion, which Jesus did at the Last Supper, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This blood that was shed on your behalf. I have made a sacrifice for the payment of your transgression. You can choose to receive that sacrifice, or you can pay the penalty for your sin yourself with your own life, and you will be sentenced to a place called hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he made it your choice. You can pay, or you can allow him to pay for your transgression. Either way, justice must be served, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first temple was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with food and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinance imposed until the time of reformation. In other words, there were so many hoops that you had to jump through in order to be purified and cleansed and come into the holy presence of God. Because God is holy, we must be holy. And the only way that we will be holy is when we have been washed in the blood of the sacrificed lamb, so that we can come directly into his presence and we can visit with God. We can have communion with God because we've been adopted into his family, and he wants us to have communion with him. In order to do that, we have to accept his sacrifice, because it's not by works of righteousness that you have been saved. It's because of God's mercy, and we come into the mercy seat where the sacrifice of the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, and you can walk right straight into his presence boldly, knowing that your sins are forgiven and you are a part of the family of God. But it's your choice. You will either follow Jesus or you will not, because justice will be served. It'll be served. So here in verse 11, talking about the heavenly sanctuary, but Christ came as a high priest, the perfect Lamb of God, of the good things to come, which the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. I get in on that deal right there. I'm like, all business, that's Randy Weaver, that's you. He died on the cross, and he made this sacrifice one time for everybody. And we don't, okay, let me just go on here. This is good. Having obtained eternal redemption. Catch it, get a hold of this. Eternal redemption. In other words, you're redeemed for eternity when you accept his sacrifice. Hallelujah. Now listen here. We had a dog, and she left the boundaries of the yard. And the dog catcher got our dog. And they called us up and said, if you want to have your dog back, you got to bail her out of doggy jail. It's going to cost you $25. So we go down there, and we say, yeah, that's our dog. We looked in there, and Katie's in there, and she's sitting in the corner. She's like, you ever look that way? Like, I shouldn't have got out of the yard. I know. So we go in there and we're like, Katie, you got any money? She didn't have no money. She didn't have no checking account. She didn't have no credit card. There wasn't no way that dog was going to get out of there unless the master came and paid her way to get out. She had no way she could get out of that doggy jail. Why do we keep thinking that we can pay our way out? You don't have that kind of clout. You don't have that kind of, you don't have no money that can buy only. The most valuable thing that you'll ever have in your life is the value of the gift of the precious sacrifice of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And only if you accept, because you don't have no money, you don't have no credit card with heaven, only Jesus has access. The high priest, the eternal high priest, will stand up on your behalf and say, come on. You with me? Thank you, Lord. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator. The new covenant, which means by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Who is called? Did you ever think about that? He said, those who are called may receive. I want to talk just briefly about this. People say, well, what about predestination? Like, who's called? Who's called to get to heaven? Here's what the Bible says. The scripture says God is not willing that any. So, you're called. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all, that means the word in the Greek for all is all. I think. I mean, I don't know Greek, but it's pretty close to that. That all should come to a place of repentance and accept the sacrifice. Thank you. Those who are called, you're being called.
But to as many who has received him, to those who received the sacrifice, to them he gave the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. We have to receive. It's not rocket science. Verse 16, for where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. In other words, when you have the last will and testament, you are giving somebody a gift after you're gone. The gift that Jesus gave you after he left was the gift of eternal life. But you have to receive eternal life in order for you to have eternal life. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. There it is again. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, or there's no forgiveness of sin. There's no transgression that is covered without the shedding of blood. In other words, if he is a just God, which he is, there has to be a payment for your sin and for my sin, and we have to accept that because we have all sinned. Amen. So in verse 23, therefore, everybody say therefore. It was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with man's hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus is in the presence. God the Son is in the presence of God the Father, speaking on your behalf, because he was the great mediator between man and God. And when God sees us, he doesn't see all the issues and all the problems we have. The Father sees somebody who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're not perfect, but because God's blood has been, your sin has been covered by the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, God the Father looks at you like you are a perfect individual when you abide by the covenant that he put in his word. And I like this. Not that, I'm sorry if I'm hollering a little bit. I'll get excited. Verse 25. Not that he should offer himself often. Like every year they would offer the sacrifices. It says, not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I think in our culture today, we accept sin because we know God's blood will cover it. We think that we can mess up all we want because we're going to have the blood covering it. Let me tell you something. A covenant is cut both directions. We have a covenant with God. God has a covenant with us. We have to abide by the covenant in order for God to honor his covenant with us. Case in point. The Bible says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. I don't want to scare you this morning, because you do have an advocate with God that if you sin. But what I'm saying is, when we accept sin in our own lives, it says it's as though you crucify the Son of Man again. And let me tell you something. If you're willing to do that and you're good with it, I seriously doubt your sincerity in your confession that you are a Christian. Because we have to love God. If we actually are going to be born again believers, the first thing we've got to do is love the Lord your God with all your heart. That doesn't mean some of your heart. That doesn't mean share some of your heart with God. And that doesn't mean check in every once in a while. It doesn't mean check in on Christmas and Easter. What kind of relationship is that? Doesn't mean check in every 3 or 4 months. Or check in when things are going bad. What kind of relationship is that? See, the covenant that we cut with God in communion is that we recognize the pain that he went through on the cross so that we could have forgiveness. And the scripture says, those who have been forgiven much loves much. And I would just submit this to you. This is where I was. The only way that I could love much is when I figured out, even though I was raised in church, even though I've been in church probably more than anybody in the world, that I had been forgiven much because of the transgressions that Randy Weaver had. I was lying to myself, thinking that I was such a good person. And when God showed me my transgressions, he showed them to me, and he showed me how he saw things that I saw. And that he loved me when I didn't really care that much about whether anybody else got to heaven or not. I prayed and I said, God, please forgive me. Because, first of all, I hadn't seen myself the way you see me. And the pain that I caused you when you went to the cross. And the pain that I continue to cause to you because of my continuing in certain areas of my life that you call sin. Yes, to crucify him afresh and anew. And I confess to God as a young man that I don't really care that much if anybody else gets to heaven. I just want to make sure I go. God convicted me to my bone. Now I cry over people that just don't understand. They just got so familiar with God and so familiar with grace, so familiar with communion, that they've missed out on the heart of God. And I said, God, please help me to love people like you love them. Please help me. Forgive me for being so selfish. We have a world today, a church world today, that cares more about themselves than they do anybody else. And Jesus came with this sacrifice. And he showed us how to care for other people more than we care about ourselves. God, help us. Help us to see our neighbors, our friends, our families that don't understand what we're talking about. We don't preach these sermons for you. Well, we do. But we preach them so that you can have them and take them out into the world and share them out in the world with people that don't understand. But too many times we don't even read the Word of God because we don't value the Word of God, basic information before leaving earth. Oh, goodness, I didn't realize it was so late. So, I got to read this to y'all. That's the problem with this 11:30 service. Let me read this and I'll wind her down. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This deed in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are sick and weak among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned by the world." Talking about God's expectations. God's expectations is that none should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. Hold on, let me do communion with you. Some of y'all are getting after it already. It's okay. Sometimes I eat before I pray too. Not under the law. Amen? But before we do this, I want us to all bow our heads. And what I want to say to you is, if you need to make peace with God, something in your life, and you haven't been following God, and you know there's something in your life, I just admonish you, before you take communion, this covenant that we're making with God, this covenant that we're making with God, that we'll be faithful and loyal to him to the best of our abilities, please don't take communion unless you're serious about living for God. Not that you're going to be perfect, but that you are going to strive to please God. If you need to do that, if you need to get things right with God, I want to help you. Let's all do this. I'm going to help you pray, but you believe it in your heart, okay? But let's bow our heads. Just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I accept your sacrifice. Thank you for shedding your blood, for redeeming me from the sin of my past. Lord, give me wisdom to follow you, to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray." Keep your heads bowed. How many said that prayer and you needed to say that and you meant it before God? Raise your hand. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. All over the building. Thank you. God sees your hands. He sees every hand going up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you back there. I appreciate it. My goodness, what a blessing. I smell victory. I smell victory. Take the bread. We've done business with God. He said he broke the bread. He said, this represents my body, which is broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me till I come back. Let's eat together. He said, after the same manner, he took the cup. Represents the blood. Let's drink together, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Will you stand with me, please? Please take this message home with you. Let it marinate. Is that a good word for it? Let it marinate inside of you. What we mean? Because we take communion every month, but we can't just do it just because we always do it. This is serious stuff. It's renewing a covenant with Almighty God. Amen. We've got our prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, we'd love to have you. We still believe in miracles around here. We believe in a miracle-working God. Pray that God can heal you. Whatever you need, we're here for you. Lord, bless your church, I pray. Help us, Lord, to stay faithful to you. Give us wisdom in everything we do. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way so we can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, in the church, then, amen. Amen. We love y'all. God bless you.